Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 327 of Power Rangers. Power Rangers Lost Galaxy episode 34. Turn up the volume.
It aired.
Turn it up.
November 10th, 1999. Written by Jackie Marchand.
Hey.
And directed by Koichi Sakamoto.
That's a good team.
That is a pretty good team.
It's a pretty good team. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording. We watch an episode of Power Rangers. We come back and we talk about it, and you can follow along if you have Netflix or the DVDs. I mean, what else is there to say at this point? We're 34 episodes into the show.
Choose your own adventure on if you want to follow along or not.
Yeah, so this is a Monday episode because we had to skip Friday because of scheduling, and I'm technically on vacation when you hear this, so didn't have enough time to get one out for you. Sorry about that. I'm pretty sure there will be one on Friday. We should be back to normal after this.
I think so.
Because I get back on Tuesday, so we'll be able to record. Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine from here on out.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, so let's go watch Turn Up the Volume.
Go, go Galactic! We're back, and we just watched Turn Up the Volume. Did I startle you?
I was not expecting it to be that boisterous.
Well, I had to turn up the volume.
You had to turn it up. Turn it up. Get ready for a lot of those this episode, guys. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is our website. So is HeyJakeAndJosh.com is where the archives are. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We are on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. All your faves, and if you want to leave us a rating and review in any of those places, it would help us out a bunch. It lets people find the show and come join this adventure.
Find the show.
Find the show. I don't know what happened. I do know what happened. I've had a beer.
Oh, there it is.
That's what's happened. Also, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the show and you get some cool stuff in return, and it helps out a bunch, and we really appreciate it. So consider doing that if you really like the show and have some scratch that you just got to get rid of. It's not a charitable donation, so it's not tax deductible. I'm sorry. Someday.
Well, if there was anything we could do about that, we would, but...
Absolutely. So we do have a couple new patrons to thank. One couple. Two people. First up is Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
And Lindsay.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you very much for supporting the show, and if anyone else would like to, again, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. So, Josh, you want to jump in?
Yeah.
To Turn Up the Volume? Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, can I tell you something? You know, the last couple episodes, we were like, oh, Corone, come on, be better. She figured it out.
She turned up the volume.
She turned up that volume. She turned up the mean. That's all I was looking for.
She made faces. She did it. She did exactly what we said she needed to do.
All of our asks.
And just like that, I've come full circle back.
Super back around. Very happy about this. We start off with Damon doing some work. There's a panel. And he's fixing things inside of it.
It's open and he's zapping the inside.
He's just prodding it with a cattle prod, I guess. It's a WCW champion. He wants to win that championship. So he's just zapping it with a cattle prod.
That's the only way you beat Goldberg.
This is literally the only way you can do it. Unless you're Brock Lesnar. And in which case, you beat him in a very disappointing third match of three. Technically a four.
And because you won the last one, you win the rivalry.
Yep.
Anyway.
Barf. So, Corone comes up. She's like, damn it, we got to go. I need you to come check something out right now. And he's like,
yeah, like, a cut, maybe a cut or two back to just, like, feet running down a hallway.
Yeah. And they're obviously Corone. It's in leather obvious. Pants.
No one else has those leather pants.
No. And so she runs up and she's like, we gotta go. And he's like, okay, but I'm like working. And she's like, yeah, whatever. You get back to it in a second. And she just grabs him and starts running. So they run into the bar that Bulk works at.
Worked at. Once.
I guess.
They kicked him off of Terra Venture.
Corone has been in the same amount of episodes as Bulk. So everyone knows. Everyone's keeping track at home. It sucks.
It does suck. They left him on Gwinnett. They're like, he's not even good as a bartender. Get this guy out of here.
Get him out of here. She pulls him up to the job board, cuts in front of three people, and Damon's like, sorry about that.
She doesn't even care about those people.
No.
She like hip checks them out of the way.
Yeah, get out of here, nerds. You're not main characters. You need to have names. leave. So she's like, ta-da. And he's like, I have a job. You don't need to send me the job board. I have one. And she's like, no. This one, though. Look at it. And he's like, chief mechanic. Sounds like a lot of work. I don't know if I'm qualified. And she's like, you just got to do it.
Yeah, she kind of bullies him into applying for the job.
She cyberbullies him into applying for chief mechanic. And he wasn't going to. He was about to like be like, no, I'm not going to. But then Joe Pesci's little brother, Dave Pesci, comes up and is like, yeah, you're not going to get the job. And then literally Marv
with a haircut.
It's literally the sticky bandits are here. Or wet bandits, depending on if you like. Depending on how you want your adjective, bandits.
I greatly prefer wet bandits.
I like sticky better. I think it's got a better vocal feel.
Well, I mean, wet bandits is just the Lunchables version of the sticky bandits.
Yeah. Why is Lunchables wet inside?
Preservatives.
Why do they come wet? Why do they spray it down? Why do they spritz it before they package it up?
So it doesn't dry up.
Oh, that's true. You don't want your dried up Lunchables. You got to keep that meat nice and wet. So the sticky bandits are like, no, you're not going to get the job because our boy, and I forgot his name, so I started calling him Franklin in the notes. His name's Baxter. I will refer to him interchangeably between Franklin and Baxter because he looks like a Franklin to me, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's Franklin when he sucks, and then he's Baxter later.
Yeah. Franklin T. Baxter, T stands for thunder, and they're like, yeah, our boy Baxter over here, he's gonna win the job, he's gonna get it, and
he's the job champion of TerraVenture.
And so there's like this reveal, it's like this little nerd, and I was trying to figure out for like half the episode who he reminded me of. If you take Bernard from
Santa Claus
and multiply him, or not multiply, I guess average him out with Charlie from the Santa Claus, you get Franklin.
He looks like not Marv's younger brother.
Oh, maybe.
Because at first when it cut to him, I'm like, that's the same guy.
That's just Marv again.
But he is shorter than not Marv.
Way shorter. He's shorter than Melody Perkins. She's in a little bit of heels. He is demonstrably shorter than Damon later, and it's hilarious. So he's like, yeah, I'm gonna get the job. I got it in the bag. Crone is like, hey, remember how I used to be the queen of evil? Princess of evil? I don't remember. She's
princess.
She became the queen when she killed Dark Spectre.
Yeah.
Well, when Dark Spectre died, I guess. She gets pretty freaking astronomer on him. And she's like, oh yeah, you think so? And like gets up in his face. And Damon's like, I'm gonna take the job. I'm gonna try for it.
Well, no, she says, my pal Damon is going to build a machine that's going to knock your socks off. And Damon is like, yeah, I guess.
Yep, am. And then we cut to the theme song. Before we come out of the theme song, I do want to say there's a lot. If you ship Damon and Carone, this episode is for you.
Yep.
Let me tell you, there is a point where Damon straight up goes to grab her hand and then doesn't because that's not the show. That's not the actual context of the show. But they are who they, there's some chemistry there. So we come back from the theme song. We are on the Blade ship and a sound monster is terrorizing Trakina and the gang. And it's just blasting noise from its shoulder pad speakers.
Yeah. It's got like speaker circles on its shoulders.
It's Noivern, the Pokemon, because it's a bat. It's literally a sound bat.
Yeah, its name is Decibat.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
its face is a mood ring.
And Trakina's like, hey, cut that out right now. And he's like, I just wanted to make sure you heard. She's like, yeah, I heard. Get out of here. Go down to TerraVenture. Do something bad down there. So it leaves, and then we cut to TerraVenture, where Carone's like, so Damon, what are you going to build? And he's like, why don't you tell me? You're the one who told me I was doing this. And she's like, you got this though, right?
You can do it. Like, come on, Damon.
Here's the thing. By the end of the episode, we'll find out like what exactly this job entails. And I don't know exactly why Carone is like, Damon, you got to get this job. But I do
love... Carone read head mechanic. stopped there.
Yeah.
And was like, Damon's great at that.
Damon's the best mechanic. He should be number one. And I love that she did not, like, take, she's like, you're the best. You should be the best. So I'm just going to kind of force feed you into this job. We cut to somewhere else and Franklin, and I have a question mark next to his name because I could not remember it. this is Baxter. And he leaves his car and then Decibat, like, lightning teleports in and starts attacking people. And then Carone and Damon get a phone call from Alpha and they, like, jump behind, like, a little...
I appreciate the theatrics of, like, let's take cover and
we gotta
talk
hide.
To Alpha.
Yeah.
I also very much appreciate the callback to Alpha calling them to tell them there's trouble.
Yeah.
Just them not just doing it in the middle of wherever they were. Staircase outside of the command tower, maybe?
Yeah, it's like an office park sort of thing.
It was nice to see them, like,
have to hide behind something. Yeah. It's been a while since they've had to do that.
Yeah, Alpha tells them there's a monster attacking, and Carone is beside herself. She's so happy she gets to be a Power Ranger now.
She is so jazzed. She's like, yes, we're going to get one. And it's like, they're not even morphed yet. And Damon's like, okay. like, just
and then she puts
back.
On like her business face for the morph call.
Yeah, and then so they morph. We cut to, I just called him the Loud Boy because I forgot the name, Decibat. So they cut to the other three Rangers fighting Decibat. And then at some point in the fight, Damon and Carone join, but like there was never a moment where they jumped in the fight.
It started with them.
Were they all there?
Yeah,
because they
morphed and ran in first and they said something like, okay, hey, cut it out. And then the other three just ran in from the side and were like, yeah, you better stop. And then they were all fighting.
Maya will get A, no screen time, and B, no lines in this episode. So Kai has like two lines. Leo's got one or two.
It's all voiceover. We don't see any of the other three.
Yeah. It's another one of those. He's shooting very loud noises at the Rangers, and they hate that, and they can't do anything. So Damon pulls out his trans dagger and turns it into gun mode, the, like, crossbow kind of mode.
Yeah.
And so he starts shooting at Neuvern and, like, jumps and shoots him and flips over him and kicks him and shoots him again. And it shoots him with one of his speakers. He goes, oh, my woofer.
You busted my woofer.
So his woofer's all destroyed and then he just teleports away. He's like, I can't do anything without a woofer. What am I gonna do? So then we cut back to the bar where Harry and Marv leave. Sticky Bandits get out of there and they're like, yeah, you got this, Franklin. And Franklin is just like, yeah, I guess I do. And the deal is to get the job, you have to design something
for Terra Venture. Yeah. Something to improve either light, the quality of life, or the ship itself, I guess.
You had to make something that benefits Terra Venture in some way, which is weird because
this is just Terra Venture like scheming for free stuff.
Yeah, they just want free stuff, but also like you have people for that. How is there a job opening?
Someone died.
Oh, yeah, no, I guess, yeah. All right, that makes sense.
Everybody dies this season, champ.
It's raw. Power Rangers is raw. Carone and Damon are walking by, and Franklin overhears Damon telling Carone about the ultrasonic transmitter that will cancel the noise from Neuvern.
Yeah, and apparently this section of hallway is just super echoey.
Yeah, because he's like all the way in the bar and hears them, and he's like, is that Damon? And so he goes and like sneaks up to listen in, and he's like, as they leave, Carone's like, when she's trying, she's like, an ultra... something thingy whatever and he's like ultrasonic transmitter. She's like, yeah, whatever, what's it do? I love Carone again. I'm so happy we've gotten away from Grandpa Skeleton. I'm so happy she is no longer like weirdly shy.
Grandpa Skeleton had to die again so that Carone could live.
Good. I will sacrifice 1,000 Grandpa Skeletons for one Carone. As they leave, he's like, yeah, that's a good ultrasonic transmitter. It's a good idea. Like, those are just words.
Yeah.
Unless you already know the plan.
Well, he's so smart that he knows what those words mean in that order.
All right.
I guess.
We cut to later that night where Damon is at a workshop.
He's down in the boiler room.
Yeah. There's like
pretty much. Like, he's got a little table down there that I guess is his office.
Yeah. So he's like drawn up plans for the ultrasonic transmitter. Carone comes in and she's like, hey, how's it going down here? You're still working? And he's like, yeah, because it's like 11 p.m., which is very late for Damon, I guess. And also me, because I saw that it was 11 and I got tired immediately. And I was like, that's fake. It's not real time.
It's not real 11.
It's not my 11 o'clock. That's Terror Engine 11 o'clock. I still have stuff I have to do. So Damon's like, yeah, I got to work all night. I got a deadline tomorrow. So I guess like the job was like, hey, you got one day to create something that will benefit TerraVenture.
See you later. Application and interview.
I guess. Literally all it takes is like, and you don't even have to present the thing, just the plans for it, right?
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, like good luck. Don't work yourself to death, I guess. Like, be good. And so she leaves and like a mop bucket gets knocked over and she's like, hello? Nothing. She's like, anybody over here? And she's like really Buffy. Like it was a really Buffy moment. And I really liked that. And so she leaves. And then we get a montage of Damon like working and stretching and like wiping sweat off of his brow. Like the whole like, you know, working late montage that you get.
And then we cut back to the clock and it's like an hour later.
Yeah. It's midnight. That's very late.
That is very late. Montage made it seem like it had been a few hours.
Last time I was up at midnight was when I did the overnight on Black Friday.
Why do I keep yawning? Because you're talking about midnight.
And before that, I think it was probably like October of last year. Like, it's been a while. I don't know. Midnight's a very late time for me, so I get Damon being very sleepy. But he falls asleep. He like passes out on his plans. And in walks Franklin with a camera, probably digital. I think a 1999 digital camera.
It was too small to be a film camera. Like it was too thin. There's no way a roll of film was going to.
There was no film in there. So he comes up and he starts taking pictures, and they are loud clicks. They are like chunky, like.
And the flash is on.
Yeah.
And he's like 7 inches from Damon's face.
He's standing over Damon. It's ridiculous. Taking pictures. And then he leaves, having stolen Damon's plans. Damon wakes up and the time says 9:34. So Damon slept for like 9.5 hours. That sounds delightful.
That's pretty nice. I've done it.
It's been a minute since I've slept that long. I slept for like 14 hours pretty like a couple months ago. I don't remember when it was, but I just like went to bed at 7 and woke up at like 11 the next day. That was weird. So he wakes up and he's like, ah, oh no, I'm not done. And so he grabs his plans and he runs out. We got to Carone looking at a watch, not wearing it, like holding a watch in her hands.
Well, yeah, because she has a morpher on her wrist.
She's got a look to maintain, you know.
Right.
So,
but she also is visibly irritated.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
We are back to some classic astronomer facial expressions.
She's like, I cannot believe he is here and to give his plans for that job I forced him into.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's late for this.
How dare he be late?
How could he do this to me?
So he comes up and like they bump into each other because she like stands up and is about to turn around to like go find him, and they bump into each other and his plans go everywhere and he picks them all up. It's not like my plans are ruined now. It's just like I'm still late. So he runs up and there's Commander. He's like, Commander, they're not done, but here's most of the plans. The rest is all up in my brain. And Commander's like, oh, sorry, dude. We already hired Franklin over here. He had a great idea for an ultrasonic transmitter. And Damon's like, oh, yeah, huh? Cool for you, Franklin. And he's like, yeah, thanks. And Carone's like, hey, hold on a second. That's not your...
And she's about to throw down with Franklin. It's great.
Damon, like, steps on her foot, and she's like, that's not your... Oh, jeez. Like, and he's like,
she shoots a look at Damon like, oh, you better ain't.
Yeah. Like, number one, excuse you. What are you doing? Number two, let me go. I'm about to take my hoops out and kill this boy. And Damon's like, yeah, you must be real proud of yourself, Franklin. And then like they leave and Carone's like, how, like what? And then chases after him. And Damon's like, if he wants a job so much that he's willing to cheat for it, then it's all his. He literally says, I don't play that.
Yeah.
And I kind of love Damon in this episode.
Both of them are doing very
Damon
good.
And Carone are just super on fire right now. Cut back to the blade ship where Kegler repairs Neuver and gets the woofer back. Double woofs. He's woofer than ever. he's woofing over.
He's woofing over.
Then we cut back down to like the engineering building. Franklin's walking through and he's like, we need maximum power to the ultrasonic transmitter. You do something over there and you do something over there. And then he walks up and he holds up some plans. And when he pulls them down, Damon's behind him. And he's like, how'd you get in here? Damon does not answer, but I presume it's, I work here.
Yeah, and he's also not there to be like, you scoundrel. You stole my plans. You took my job.
Yeah.
He's there to be like, hey, you can keep the job. You just need to know that those plans weren't done.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't steal any plans. I don't know what you're talking about.
And how could you say that to the guy whose plans you stole?
Like, who are you trying to trick? No one else is around. He's trying to help you right now. What a wad. Franklin's a wad, guys.
Total wad.
He will not have any of it. And then we cut back somewhere outside and Neuvern shows back up and is terrible and starts blasting noise. And when Neuvern's sound waves are going off, it is just shaky cam to all hell.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad before because Damon shot him pretty quickly. But I hope you guys are ready for 5 minutes of awful shaky cam and screeching.
Like I would say it's closer to 10. It felt like.
Awful. It's so bad. I cannot believe they kept that much in.
And a lot of it is just it happening. Like, it's not for a reason. It's just like more yelling and shaky. We need that. So Commander's like, Franklin, we got to time test your machine. Like, we got to do it. And then we cut back to where Neuvern is, and the Rangers show up, minus Damon. And they'll attack him, and they do some fighting. And at one point, Leo gets knocked down, and Crone's like, hey, I got this. I'm feeling good about myself today. This is my job. She kicks him off a roof.
She lights him up.
It's great.
Well, she does not kick him off the roof.
She doesn't? Okay.
She beats the snot out of him, and then she steps back and does like a pose, and Maya jumps in over her and jump kicks him. And that is the blow that knocks him off the roof. But Carone did all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, because I saw her beating him up, and I looked down to write my note, and then I looked up, and he was flying off the roof, and I just assumed it was Carone. But okay, it was Maya.
Yeah. I don't even know if Maya even got a hee-ah in.
if it was, it was an old hee-ah. It was not a bespoke custom hee-ah. He lands far enough away that he can sound blast them again, and he does it again, and it's more loud screeching noise and shaky cam, and it pins them to the wall, which is a really cool effect. Also, I do want to commend the directing in this episode. It feels different than a Power Rangers episode in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Even the fighting, like, is, you know, Power Rangers enough, and the action is still shot the same, but like the stuff with Damon and Carone in the bar earlier, or Damon like at his desk, is all shot like a workplace movie.
Yeah,
like a very low budget workplace movie.
Yeah,
but it works really well. Like there's like a rack focus onto the clock when it says 9:30. I cannot remember the last time there's been a rack focus on this show, so I was very impressed with it. Damon is trying to get to the transmitter because he knows that it's faulty and it's not going to work right.
Not even that it's faulty, just that like
it's not
there's
done.
Key components missing.
So Franklin fires it at Neuvern, who turns around and blasts sound back into it, which overloads it. But then Neuvern stops for a second, and so Franklin's like, I did it. I won. I'm the best. Look at my great machine.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like he overloaded it, and that made it blast a little harder, because I think it knocked him down.
Yeah. It's a little unclear.
Yeah.
But
so he both beat and lost to the sonic transmitter.
Yeah, and so Franklin's like, yeah, I did it. And everyone's like, way to go, Franklin, you're the man. And Dame's like, Franklin, it's going to explode. You got to go.
Yeah, there's a meter on it that's from 0 to 100 sonic units.
It says overload
rings.
On the side. Oh, that's rings. That's how you measure sonics.
That's a sonic unit.
Yeah.
One ring.
We would also accept chili dogs.
Chili dogs is worth 10 rings.
Right. That's a Desa ring. A.K.A. colloquial... not even going to try that word. Just going to get rid of it. it's a chili dog. So he's like, there's too many chili dogs. You got to get out of here. And he jumps at the last second and he grabs, like, tackles Franklin off of it and it explodes. Commander's like, everyone get back. It's in, like, slow motion. And so he saves Franklin from blowing it up. And then Commander's like, Franklin, what the hey? What was that? And Franklin's like, well, you see.
Well, he starts with saying just like,
I don't know. I don't know.
And the commander's like, that's your machine, pal. You
what
better
do you
know.
Mean you don't know? And so he's about to confess, but Damon like steps in to save his hiney from like.
Because he actively does not want this job.
No. Well, he does. He doesn't know that he doesn't yet.
Yeah.
Given him. That's a real fun part at the end. So he gets like he steps up. And he's like, hey, like he needs more time to fix it. Like, and I think I can help and we'll be able to get it working. So then they start fixing it. And Neuvern does a full power blast at the Rangers, which like shoots him back to the wall, and it's very loud.
It's loud and shaky for another 6 minutes.
And this knocks Damon aside, and he's like, Baxter, you gotta do the rest, whatever that means.
Turn a dial and push a button.
I guess. And so like after like 6 minutes, he finally does that, and it hits and it cancels the noise.
This blast not only knocks Neuvern down, but breaks both his woofer and his speaker.
And his speaker. His Dolby 5.1 setup is shot.
He's done.
So
he just has a mood ring face.
Some bad ears.
Some bad ears.
And a trench coat, like a Dr. Smock.
I was worried about the trench coat, but thankfully it never came into play.
Ever since I guy, it's just I've always been worried about. No, that wasn't I guy.
Seymour.
It might have been Seymour.
I hope not.
What was his name? I don't want to know. I don't care. I hate him. Ever since the peeping flasher, I just every time I see a trench coat, I'm like,
The hash slinging flasher.
The flash flinging flasher. So Damon rejoins the Rangers. They do the lights. Earlier, they're like, we can't do the lights of Orion until we get Damon over here. Where is Damon? He was fixing the thing. So then Damon rejoins them. They do the lights. They kill him. Damon's in the middle for this, and I like the way it looks with the red knot in the center.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. Also, I have decided that while I don't dislike a Black Ranger, like I like it look it has a certain look.
Yeah.
But a Green Ranger to
it pulls the team together a little better.
It fills out the rainbow a little more, and yeah. I really like that. But like Damon is like in the center when they both start and finish it, and it just looks really neat with red to like the side. Yeah. Which we don't get enough of.
They should do that more often.
Yeah.
If it's a spotlight episode, don't put Leo in the middle.
Yeah.
Unless it's a Leo episode, which every episode.
Every non-other spotlight is a Leo episode.
Yeah.
So then we cut to later. Damon's packing up he's not packing up his office. He's just like putting some stuff away because he doesn't need his like drafting things anymore. And Carone's there and she's like, I can't believe you let him get away with it. Like, how could you do that? That cheating little...
Yeah.
And Damon's like, hey, Baxter's not that bad of a dude.
And Carone's face just contorts into total astronema. And she's like, Baxter, a good guy?
A good guy? And then Baxter... And Damon's like... And then Baxter's coming up behind him, behind them. And so Carone turns around and she's like, oh, if it isn't the chief mechanic. And it is like...
She wants to shoot him with her staff so badly.
If she had a staff, Franklin would be dead.
Yeah.
It is so nice to have Carone be this way.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I'm glad it didn't just turn into like mousy, timid Carone. I'm glad that she's still astronomer in there. That's what she needed.
She just needed to like kind of figure it out for a second. So he comes up and he says that he resigned. He said that like he told the chief that it was too much work and that he couldn't do it.
He hates work. He hates working.
Hates doing jobs. Then we cut to the commander being like, and here's your office, Damon. And Carone runs in, like sits on the desk, and it's like very cute. It's like, ooh, my boyfriend just got a new job.
Yeah.
Like, look at this. It's they're
they
like
walk in arm in arm.
At earlier, right when they left the when Baxter was like overhearing them and she's like, this is a great idea. We gotta go. He's like, yeah, I gotta go like work on it. He literally reaches to grab her hand and then like thinks the better of it. But like, you could tell that that was a Reggie role deep in the character and not a direction.
Yeah, and this might not have been intentional. It might just be Melody Perkins' smile, but the way she looks up at him at one point and smiles is definitely kind of like a kiss me smile.
Yeah, like, it is ridiculous. All of these beautiful Power Rangers just want to kiss each other all the time.
Make out on Damon's new desk.
Yeah, and so she's like, ah, desk, look at this.
And Damon is just like, a desk?
A desk for what?
And Commander Shepard.
Stanton?
Stinton?
Stanton?
Shepard.
Commander.
Is like, yeah.
Commander Shepard's from Mass Effect.
I know. He's like, yeah, you're going to do so much paperwork, your hands are never going to be dirty again. And Damon is scared by this.
Yeah, he's like, I like getting dirty. Like, I don't know why paperwork is not how I do my job. I don't know what you're talking about here. He's like, yeah, you can finally get out of those green coveralls, and you can have this stupid jerk shirt that, like...
It's so bad.
It looks like a chef coat.
It's similar to the commander's shirt. Not exactly, because his is obviously a much higher rank. But it's similar, but it's white, which definitely looks like kitchenware.
Yeah, it looks like a chef, but outside of a kitchen, it makes you look like a giant dork.
Yeah.
And he's like...
As has been evidenced by Baxter earlier in this episode.
Baxter was wearing it for the whole episode. And he's like, No.
He calls it a suit, and then Damon's like, I don't wear suits.
I don't do suits. Not me. That's not how I don't play that either. And then Baxter walks by.
He's just strolling by the hallway, like, of his old office. Yeah. The job he just quit.
And so Damon's like, Baxter, and pulls him in. He's like, you gotta take this job. And he's like, what? He's like, you'd be great for this job. You would love it. You gotta do this job.
I love these two playing hot potato with this job. There's something just so charming about both of them being... Baxter wants it, but didn't earn it. So he's like, Damon, you take it. Damon earned it, but doesn't want it.
Yeah. And he's like, no, you have to take this job. And Caron's like, what is going on right now? And he's like, Commander's like, I guess job's still yours if you want it then. And he's like, yeah, okay. And Damon's like, yes, and runs away.
Caron takes the dork shirt and chases after him.
And then it ends on Commander's face.
Yeah, he's got his arms crossed with these kids.
Those two cute kids. So, Josh.
Yeah.
I started.
Yep.
What's the best?
The best is the budding relationship between Caron and Damon.
I agree.
I don't know how else to word it, but just the way those two play off each
chemistry.
Other. And the chemistry they have on screen is just nothing we've seen this season so far.
I'm going to agree with that. I was going to say the direction, like the directing and how it is different from Power Rangers in most of the scenes that like aren't like directly affected by monsters or suited up Rangers. Right. But I think I'm also going to go with like just the crazy chemistry that Caron and Damon have, that Melody Perkins and Reggie Roll have, is very fun to watch. What's the worst?
The worst is the screaming shaky cam.
It was so bad.
I had to like close my eyes and stop watching it because it was shaking so much. I was getting a little sick.
So the way I take notes is I mostly just look at my phone and take notes and like listen to the episode, and I will look up and watch it for like bursts at a time, but like then go back to taking the notes so I can like get a good balance. When it's just screams, I can't tell what's going on.
Yeah.
It was horrible. So yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Who is the MVP?
Caron.
Absolutely, 100%. Yep. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God Caron is back, and she's the MVP. I was so worried the last two episodes, and I was like, I don't like this. I don't like what they're doing. And they're like, oh, sorry, Jake.
We fixed it.
Here you go. This is for you, buddy. It's really great. All it took, just do Astronema, but a good guy.
Yeah.
That's the secret sauce right there. And it worked out pretty great. Now, we have to rank it.
We do. This is a tough one.
It's going to be a tough one.
Because half of the episode is very good, and the other half is a screaming shaky camera.
It's screaming Jason Bourne in an echo chamber.
But I am willing to push the shaky cam into the trash and only focus on the really good parts of this episode.
Yes.
And put it, I think, pretty high up.
Okay, so let's talk. Obviously, it's better than the last two episodes. The Protect the Quasar Saber and Face in the Past. Obviously, it's better than those.
Yeah.
Let's go up a little bit more. Stolen Beauty. My, like, benchmark for where great starts. Better or worse than Tex Avery cartoon Babe Trakeena.
That's a tough one.
It's pretty comparable. I think they're pretty similar. I feel like it goes either above it or below it.
I'll put it below it because I'm going to take the shaky cam back out of the trash.
Okay, yeah.
That alone bumps it down just below Stolen Beauty for me.
All right, so coming in at number 8, what was the episode called? Turn Up the Volume.
Yep.
Turn it up.
Not recommended.
Yeah, keep it at like a the problem, the other thing is, like, the actual volume of the horrible, horrible noise wasn't too bad. It was, like, just above where you want it.
It was just a constant screech. The sound was terrible.
It was just so sonically unpleasing.
And I get that that's the monster, but you gotta think of the audience a little more than that.
Yeah, you gotta figure something out. Any final thoughts?
No. Nothing that we haven't said at some point during this episode, I don't think.
All right. Do you remember what the next one was called? Next episode, you got that up still?
I do remember it in my brain, not looking it up at all. Oh, boy. The next one, finally, is Enter the Lost Galaxy.
What have we been doing this whole time?
Just mucking around in space.
Well, I can't wait for that. I don't know what to expect.
I don't either.
I'm very excited we're finally here. So we will see you on Friday for End of the Lost Galaxy. But until then,
may the power protect you.
We will. I'm going to delete that sentence because I had no strategy for it.
We will.
We will. I promise.